I believe that tonight. He's everything we need. I believe that from the depths of my heart. Amen. Well, we're still here. Thank God you're still here. We're interested in going to heaven, living right, having God's approval on everything we say and do. Amen. You pray tonight, the Lord will bless us. He'll do it again. I'd like to call our attention to the Word of God, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. And the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. We have something serious here, don't we? 119th Psalms and verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And here we have the lamp of God gone out. Get anything out of that? A backslidden ministry can only produce a backslidden people. Our fathers to their graves have gone. Their strife is past. Their triumph won. But sterner trials await the race which rises in their honored place. A moral warfare with the crime and folly of an evil time. So let it be. In God's own might, we gird us for the coming fight. And strong in Him whose cause is ours, in conflict with unholy powers, we grasp the weapons He has given, the light and truth and love of heaven. Oh, if we ever needed the light and the truth and the love of God, the love of heaven, we need it now. It's dark. The light's gone out. Backsliding is something that doesn't happen overnight. You don't backslide overnight. You don't lose out with God overnight. It is a very slow and deadly and certain process that is not without indications all along the way. Amen. If we will be attuned and keep alert, we'll be able to identify symptoms, signs that speak of backsliding in progress. I was down a place They had some barricades put up, and they had the place kind of walled and boarded off, and it said, "Danger, construction in progress." You could see the building was going on. Those signs were put there as an extra caution in case someone didn't know what was going on. And then at nighttime, they had little blinking lights on these signs. Yellow lights blinking, 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 blinking. Caution! Something's going on. We are not without those cautions today. This is an appropriate and fitting subject for tonight. The lamp went out. During Eli's administration, do you know we can put our finger on when backsliding starts? Yes, we can. During Eli's administration. You know, we hear a lot about the last president started this. There's still a few folks around talking about what Hoover did. Hoover days. Now, I wasn't knowing anything about that. I just hear what they say about it. Hoover days, and they shake their heads. Hoover days. Started some things. Set some precedents. And we still have the effects of it today, some ways. Backsliding's like that. It starts somewhere. There are signs all along the way. We don't have to backslide. Now, I've heard folks get up and say, "Thank God he brought me back. I failed." You don't have to fail. That's right. You don't have to backslide. God fortifies and puts enough reinforcement behind us to cause us to stand. Amen. The Word of God and the Holy Ghost is sufficient. Amen. Well, let's kind of look at some of the indications here. Second chapter of this book, 1 Samuel, verse 12. "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." You need to watch this real close right through here. I have children. I have sons and I have daughters. I want the saints to pray for me. My intention to do the very best I can to raise them and guide them in the fear of the Lord and the things of God. If they stray from this, I will be grieved and hurt. I'll be disappointed. So I want you to know that what we speak about tonight has equal value for me. The sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Let's make it plain for everybody tonight. They were full of the devil. God help us. He had children that were full of the devil. We don't hear much about that anymore, do we? He's under a strain. He's unfamiliar with the way you speak. Call the devil the devil. When we openly resist the Word of God and openly defy the Holy Bible, we are under the influence of the devil. That's what it is. Where'd we get all this business of he's under a strain? My son's not himself today. Well, when you're not yourself, I've always wondered, who are you? We'd better get a hold of ourselves and know who we are. And some folks say, "Well, that wasn't me yesterday." Who was it? Was it God? No, I wasn't quite myself. Come on, name it. It was the devil. I'm not afraid to say it. I've run into folks that are full of the devil. And they claim to be people of God. Amen. That's going to cost me, isn't it? I serve a mighty God. I'm not afraid of the devil. Amen. We grasp the sword, the weapons He has given. The light, the truth, the love of heaven. We've got all we need. More than enough to deal with the devil. I love souls, and I'm concerned about souls making heaven. I'm equally concerned about the infiltrating of the devil on saint territory. They were sons of Belial. They knew not God. Amen. And on top of this, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in the seething, and with the flesh hook with three teeth in his hand. These fellows were priests. They were functioning in the priest's office. Notice it said they knew not the Lord. Now don't you begin to wonder, how could this be? How could they be serving in this capacity and not know the Lord? It's easy. Their father was a priest. See? Their daddy was a priest. And you know how we are, sentimental. Amen. Well, his dad was a man of God. That doesn't mean the boys are going to be that. That doesn't mean the girls are going to be right because mother was an old saint. We want them to be. We pray that way. We instruct to that end. They'll have to get saved and sanctified to fill any place and function in the church of God. That's clear to me. God help us. One redeemed little reading. Verse 17 says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. You know, they were doing so bad till the folks that were bringing their offerings just didn't want to bring it because of the abuse of these young men. They're getting in some deep trouble. We're talking about backslidden ministry. Verse 22 says, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. You know something? That's 2 miles of chai. Do you hear what I said? That's 2 miles. Here I know what you're doing and I know what's going on, and all I have to say is what I hear is not good. Well, knowing you're not saved is enough. Now let's watch the process. In the process of time, chapter 3, it said the lamp went out. See? You get the progression of things? You see the degeneration, you see the break, you see the breach. The lamp went out. Eli's eyes were dim. We're not reflecting on natural dimness and trouble that comes with age and that. We're talking about a loss of spiritual vision. We're talking about a loss of spiritual insight and understanding. The first indication of backsliding is a loss of a value of spiritual things. Folks get carnal and natural, fleshly. They don't esteem spiritual things. God help us. This is truth. They lose all sight of spiritual reality. It does not exist for them. Carnality is the law of the day. Whatever I want to do, I do it. So the lamp went out. 119 Psalm says, thy word is a lamp the Word was no longer God. It went out. Let's swallow a little closer, please. The 11th verse of the 3rd chapter says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever." Listen. "For the iniquity which he knoweth." That's too light a chide over here. You know, sometimes in going after a thing that we know ought to be set aright, we don't go after it like we need to. Those boys should have been set down long ago. We don't hear that anymore, do we? Set him down. God help us! Set him down! I'm scared of that now. Well, if I get out of line, set me down. Let me injure souls. And if I'm not out of line, then you start praying and saying amen. And let's get the truth lifted up where it ought to be. And let's do it. Amen. The iniquity that he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. You know, restrain is more than just a little tap on the wrist. You know what restrain means? I've known them to have to strap folks down to restrain them, to stop their activity. Restrain carries a force, a power here. Stop their activity. Restrain them. Not just a few words. You know, God help us now. I'm a parent. I'm in the hot water too. You know how our children can push us to some limits, and we really need to restrain them, and we merely say, "Now if you keep doing that, I'm going to do something." And they know it's nothing but air. Do it one more time now, boy! And he doesn't even beat a sweat. You're not going to do nothing. Then your heart goes to pumping. My boy's talking back to me. Well, if you would restrain him and stop his activity, when you say stop, boy, he think about it real serious. Brother Lewis told me, he said his daddy was chastening him for something he'd done. He said, "I hadn't gotten into real bad stuff, but I was involved." He says, "My daddy came out and looked in my eyes and picked me up and took clothespins and pinned me on the clothesline and began to talk to me." I said, "What was the result of that?" He said, "Brother, I never forgot it. I never forgot it. I'm not suggesting you pin your children up on the clothesline. But I'm trying to show you, we'd better let them know we mean what we're saying. If you have to pin him on the clothesline a little bit, let him dangle a while. Boy, I mean stop." Said when he got off that clothesline, he knew his dad meant business. Do we mean business? Do we really mean business? God help us tonight. You didn't restrain your sons. And so the process of backsliding, the effect of a backslidden ministry, the effect that it creates, that drifts down through generations, the things it causes is a blight and trouble to us all. We don't have to backslide. We're going to have to watch the signals along the way. Keep the way clear. Keep the garden up to par. You knew about it. You wouldn't restrain them. "Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Isn't that something? We've got God's mind on it now, don't we? This kind of wickedness, this kind of thing that It just allowed to go on in the darkness to mount and surmount, and we twiddle our thumbs is wrong, and God judges those things very severely. Now, I think tonight, what do we know about? That we aren't making the proper moves to stop. Pretty quiet in here. That's good. All right. Going away from God, backsliding, getting in a condition where God is no longer able to control us, where God is no longer able to get His wishes performed through and in us. That's backsliding. Getting to the place where we push aside the Word of God and everything precious. Remember, it said the Word was precious in those days. It's precious tonight. The Word of God is precious tonight. God help us. You stay with us. And you pray. Let's look in the book of Jeremiah, second chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Oh, listen, God help us tonight. The Lord here is, this is a plea, this is a call to bring our minds in, to bring our minds to a time when our love for God was unquestioned, when our devotion to holy things was supremely devout. This is a call to remember the time in your experience when all the things of the Lord were so special to you. The embrace of the Lord was so special to you. Glory to God, just to pray and sing and read the Word and meditate on the things of God was so precious to you. The tears came so freely. You remember that? Oh, the gospel would be preached just a little while. And if I felt I was out of harmony with God, down to the altar I'd go. Oh, I'm not unsaved, but I just feel like I just haven't been just right faithful in a little prayer. And you know, many times in that tenderness and that eagerness to please God, the ministers recognize that you hadn't really done anything wrong, but bless the Lord for that kind of tender responsiveness to the Word of God. Oh, it's wonderful when you and I can be touched deep, when we can feel our shame that I didn't stand like I should have stood, and I didn't hold that like I should have held it, and I should have been firmer. It's wonderful when we have that kind of sensitivity about the Word of God. You don't do anything wrong when you come to the altar and kneel down and say, I just feel like I just wasn't as firm as I needed to have been with that. I want the Lord to help me along those lines. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. Those beautiful words. Holiness unto the Lord. First fruits. Oh, I'm thinking now. I want the Lord to deal with my heart right up here. I'm thinking when the Lord saved my soul, when the light of the gospel shone down in my inner being, the light flooded out all the darkness of sin, all the things of evil and debauch were all revealed and exposed in his life. And I said, Abba, Father, Lord, you're right, I'm yours. And oh, the determination of my heart, the desire of my heart. I remember waking mornings, I was newly saved. I'd wake up in the bed and I'd say, Lord, am I still saved? Oh, Lord, am I still saved? Do I still have that assurance? And look like he just let me know you had it. I said, well, Lord, I don't want to get out of the bed yet. without having you to bless me in case the devil's got a trap right out on the floor. I want to be fortified that I don't be tripped up any kind of way. That's conscientiousness. It's sensitivity. Don't laugh at it. We need that kind of sensitivity in serving the Lord. Lord, I don't want to take a step whereby I'm out of your order and out of your will. Will you do something for my soul that as I step out, I'll be able to meet the world and represent you like I ought to? Oh, it wasn't a few mornings that I got out like that, and it wasn't long the devil came along. And I attribute the success or the failure rate in representing the Lord to how many times you and I pray like that before we meet the day. Oh, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. Israel was holiness. You remembering now? I hope we are. Are you remembering now how freely the Lord could touch your heart and warm your heart? How the tears would flow, tears of joy. Just happy. Didn't know nothing better to do than just cry. Praise the Lord! Just cry, cry, cry. Thought I'd never get over crying in some instances. I'd just be happy. But you know now, we get a set in our jaws. The providence of life, experiences, and all of that water that should be under the bridge has left its marks on us. That youthful gleam, that beam, that desire that said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do we still have that connection? May God help us tonight. May God stir and inspire our hearts tonight once again. Oh, wasn't it beautiful when you just felt like with the help of God I'd just do about anything. And you just took on some things that really were out of your class, but you just believed God so much that he blessed you anyhow. And later you realized you were out of your class and you said, oh, I wasn't supposed to do that. But the Lord knew your heart and he knew your desire and he honored you and blessed you. He wanted to encourage that kind of communion. You ever wondered about the communion God had with Adam in the cool of the evening when he'd come down into paradise and talk it over with Adam? Oh, those must have been some beautiful times. Adam, Adam. Let's go over under this peach tree. Amen. Talk over the business. Holiness. First fruits. A clear, undisturbed walk with God. The cares of this life had not made their inroads. The cares and toils of this life had not begun to be any issue at all. We loved God above everything. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the right way to live. That's the right kind of relationship to ensue. Amen. Holiness unto the Lord. Praise God. Verse 13. Now something happened. My people. Have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. The fountain of living waters. You know, there's a time when we're dependent on God. I mean dependent on God. Oh, we waited on God when it looked like that maybe waiting wasn't going to work out, but we waited anyway and the Lord blessed us. Amen. Looked like maybe you missed it. Maybe He didn't mean wait like this, and all of a sudden here comes a blessing that you couldn't contain. That's God. That's His way. Process of life, when we begin to get hardened toward the simplicity of waiting on God and trusting God, we'll try to make another way. Amen. We'll try to make another way. It's natural. This happened. They committed two evils. What'd they do? They forsook me, the fountain of living waters. Oh God, and they hewed them out cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. What an exchange. A fountain of living water. The ever presence of God. Bubbling and flowing in your soul. Refreshing and refurbishing your soul and your life. And forsaking that for your own setup. on cisterns. Broken cisterns. Cisterns that hold no water. It's not even nearly a good exchange. Remember now, backsliding starts with a forsaking of the things of God. Forsaking God. Not merely forsaking God. There may be times in a moment in a stage of weakness we don't pursue the things of God like we should, but with the proper admonishing, with the proper correction, we're put back on the track and we're able to restore ourselves and go on in the Lord. But these folks forsook the Lord and started something different. These are marks of backsliding. Something different. 19th verse says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Wickedness will reprove you. Your backslidings will reprove you. It's evil to forsake God and depart from God. It doesn't happen all at once. It didn't happen in Eli's case all at once. It was a gradual process of allowing things to go, pulling away from holy things, setting up something completely different. May God help us. May the Lord help us. We don't want to backslide. We don't have to backslide. Last night we talked about turning up the fire. Someone said, well, you need to tell us how to do that. How do you get the heat up? How do you get the fire to blazing? How do you get the level of commitment to God and the awareness on the minds of saints and people that we ought to live for God with all our hearts, all our might, all our strength? How do you do that? Oh, you start by ringing a bell. You start by crying out. I'm going to say to you tonight, real, holy, close living to God will turn the heat up. Obedience to His Word will turn the heat up. If you and I will begin to practice and live all the Word of God that we know and understand to the letter, the heat will get hot. Amen. Stagnant places will begin to bubble and flow. When I determine to obey God and not be sidetracked by the cares and affairs of this life and purpose through sufferings to go on with God, the heat will pick up. This is what we need. We need a returning to the simple love and adoration of Jesus Christ. Loving the Lord with all our heart, sitting at His feet, tender and sensitive, keenly aware that I need His every hand to support my every walk. I need Him. That'll really start a revolution. Amen. That'll be tantamount to the shot fired, heard and fired and was heard around the world. You get one saint of God to begin to take a survey, an accounting of their life and their walk with God from day one when I was saved to where I am today. And am I better off and farther down the road, or have some things hindered me? And if you come up and have to admit I've been hindered, then we'd better start working right at that point, because to the degree you've been hindered, your joy and victory is affected. Not as sensitive, you're not as keen. You ever noticed if a man that's been slapped in the face, first thing he wants to do is cover his face? That's natural, isn't it? I've been hurt that way. But oh, God help me. Just open it all up for the Lord. Hurt me if you want to. Oh, I want to stay sensitive to the Lord. I want the Lord to be able to communicate with me. I want to know that He's dealing with me. I don't want to bring up any invention to protect myself and defend myself. I want to be sensitive to the Lord. Oh, may God help us. You know, we're not going to be prone to want to go in a place where we got hurt. Oh, then if the Lord is saying that's the place I want you to go, that's the one I want you to be with. Oh, can you see? We're going to need to be tender and sensitive to say, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Remember the disciples, they say, Lord. They sought just a few days ago, you're going back there, and they sought to kill you. And the Lord said, hey, I'm going anyway. And it seemed like the disciples kind of resigned themselves and said, well, let's go and get killed with him. You know, we don't need that kind of attitude. We don't need the kind of attitude that if the Lord is leading me into something that I have a fear it's going to harm and hurt me, and I kind of take the attitude, well, I'll just die. We don't need that. We need to be able to trust the Lord. And Lord, if you're leading me here, you'll take care of me. You'll take care of me. God, help us. Help us, Lord, tonight. Help us all tonight. Our love of the Lord, our hold on the Lord, that first love, that tenderness that we had when we were first saved, that's a thing that we want to recover. We want to maintain. That's a thing we want to nurture. Amen. Now let's look at something else. That is one of the promoters of indicators that backsliding is in process. 24th chapter of Matthew. Ninth verse, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Now verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The Moffat translation says, the love of most of you shall grow cold. When I read that translation, it gave an impact to that verse that I hadn't perceived before. The love of many shall wax cold. We know some are going to fall off. But that verse seemed to indicate that a sign of the end, and also an indicator of backsliding, is love, the love of the things of God by many, by most of us, growing cold. You know, if we say most of the folks, that takes in quite a number, doesn't it? Seems to give you a little more insight on the number, the percentage. Growing cold, indifferent, cold. How that goes. Kind of cold and dry. And you just can't put life into something dead that way. Oh, it's an operation of God that does that. It's an operation of the Word and the Spirit that raises from death to life. We have to honor the Word of God and give ourselves to God in such a way that He'll be pleased to pour out upon us and in us that which genders to life, genuine life, eternal life. We can call in the programs, we can call in the key speakers, and we can have them around the clock, but that won't do anything for the death that sets in. When backsliding is imminent, we don't have to backslide. We can keep an up-to-date experience and tend to our soul's needs and be responsive to the Holy Ghost when He's directing you personally. Oh, there's no substitute for personal obedience unto God. We're in a time now, it is amazing, and it's a sad report of our age and time, that a number in our age and day are looking to see what the crowd is doing. Personal relationships with God, personal convictions that guide in holiness and righteousness, there are many that don't understand what that means. Don't understand it. And so we look around to find a group or a people or anything we can lean on for direction, and most of the times we go wrong when we do. Is the Lord leading you? Is the Lord telling you to do that? I don't really know, but a lot of folks are doing it, and I thought I'd do it too. See?
Did you pray? Did you weep? Has the Lord touched down in your heart? Are you really clear that this is what God has for you? I've heard them say, yes. And then I've seen them abandon it. All right. The Lord showed me. The Lord told me. The Lord directed me and then abandoned it. The clear sign of backsliding. Amen. If we can't stand on what God gives us, what's there to stand on? Think about it. God gave it to you, it won't fall down. Amen. Remember Abraham? I and the lad will go to Washington. And we'll come again. I am the lad. Yes. Praise God. God gave him that. I don't know where this shoddy thing comes in our day and age. God gives people things that he changes. God gives people directions that they change. They declare to the whole congregation, God is leading me. And then they change. We need to be more sensitive to God. We need to be more sensitive and know that God is in us and we are in Him. We need to spend the proper amount of time and establish that kind of relationship. Amen. There is no instant salvation experience that'll make you the finished product that can obey and follow God without a diligence on your part. Doesn't matter who prays for you or prays over you. You're going to have to apply yourself and give yourself unto the Lord. You're going to have to make it very personal and very special and take time before the Lord with your soul. Amen. So meeting after meeting, our altars fill up with the same people, with the same problem. Preachers know I'm telling it right. Yeah. And you see them coming and you don't know where to begin. Let's start out by directing folks to get a personal, real experience. Meet Jesus Christ and love Him and lord on Him all of your affections without dividing. Amen. Set your affections on Him. Love Him. Believe Him. Cuddle up close. Learn His voice. Samuel didn't know the voice of the Lord. He heard the call, Samuel! And he ran to Eli. And there's folks today that's running to Eli and they're in trouble because Eli represents a backslidden minister. Running to Eli and they don't know the voice of God. I just see what Brother Sorensen is going to say about it. And he's gone. He's been gone a long time. He's still serving and functioning out of form. Hadn't been any Holy Ghost anointing come from that source in a long time. We just go along with it. We know it's not anointed. We become part and parcel of the crime. Isn't that something? Now listen, I'm not for congregations rising up with clubs against their pastors. That wasn't anointed. That wasn't anointed. We need to get in touch with God so we can know what is anointed. We need to get an anointing in our hearts so we can experience the Word of God like God intended for us to experience it. We need a touch from heaven down in our souls individually where we can eat the food that comes from heaven. Heavenly food is rich. Just a little bit of it sustains. Said the prophet went in the strength of that meat. What? Ate a little bit. 40 days he took off. What God gives us sustains and strengthens and fortifies and makes you enabled to withstand all the powers of hell in this world. Folks really need to get this kind of experience. Bedrock. We've got it in the Word. I'll tell you who this man is like. He is like a man who built his house on a rock. The rock is Christ Jesus. Folks got to get to Jesus. Forget the organization. Forget the preacher. Get to Jesus. Build on Jesus Christ. Get an experience in your life that won't fluctuate when the tides of emotion begin to move. Too many folks moving out of emotion. Moving out of fear. Oh, looks like it's a blessing out here. I think I'll pack up and move. Everybody wants to be blessed. Let's face it. If I hear a blessing's going on, I want to get there too. But there's something better than that. It's getting a blessing in your soul. Hey, get the blessed, sir. Then you won't have to spend $400 or $500 for an airplane ticket. You say, I have the blesser. We have meeting every day. I'm in an unending revival. God's dealing with my heart and my soul. He's dealing with me on matters of life, matters of business, matters of conscience. He's keeping me alert. We need this, folks. I know some folks walk around all week with a blank head. And on Sunday morning, they expect the minister to unfold all of that. God help us. A blank head. Now you pray for it. I call a blank head. Tell you where I got that from. One evening I was looking, went in the supermarket and wondered, so I was told to pick up a bag of ice. You know how they have these ice boxes. No problem, I get it. I went over to the ice box and threw the door open. I could have gotten in. Wasn't anything in there. And the Lord started talking to me. That's how some folks are. There's nothing in there. They're just like that ice box. Supposed to have some ice in them and don't have it. Supposed to have some grace and some power and some victory and some love. And it's not there. Empty. I looked over at the store man. I said, you don't have anything. You know the Lord is going to say that one day. When we stand before him, do you know he's going to open us up and stick his head in? Empty. She's empty. That's Mother so-and-so. She's empty. Pastor so-and-so, he is empty. No wonder the folks are where they are. Empty leaders, empty folks. God help us. God help us. You're not going to be able to stay around somebody that God is dealing with and stay in your same condition. What folks usually do is move. When the Holy Ghost would make a real saint out of them, they'd move. Where if they'd have sat still just a little longer, they'd have learned what the love of God was. They'd learn what it means to have communion with God. They'd learn what it means to pray through some battles and trials and tests. But they moved. And they're no better. You take your troubles with you. I'm moving. You take your troubles with you. You need to know the Lord. You need to have it settled in your heart. You need to have the real peace of God ringing in your soul. Iniquity, iniquity, because iniquity shall abound. Living in a time where iniquity, encroachments, and we talked a little about this, encroachments coming in strong and fast. We can hardly go from week to week and keep up to date with the things that are bombarding the camp of the saints. You need an experience with God for yourself that you can keep your head afloat and stay level in this way today. Preacher can't preach it fast enough. Get the anointing fast enough, seems like sometimes, to tell us all the pitfalls and perils. We're going to have to be in a place and in a way where the Lord can say, no, don't follow that. Don't heed that. You just hold steady where I have you. Don't go with that. Lord, but they shouting and people just don't go with it. We need this. And oh, when we were that tender, first love. Oh, that's the way it was. You couldn't tear us away from the Lord. I'd take my little New Testament, carry it in my pocket. Every available break I could get, I knew better. The Lord taught me early. Don't get on the man's job and think he's paying you to read the New Testament. The Lord showed me that. Said it isn't right for you to do it. But my lunch hour was mine. Amen. And I'd sit out on my lunch hour and read the Word of God. And it wasn't long before people would come around, the men, wanting to know this about that and what about that. And then after a while, you know, hey, Rev. I wasn't no Rev. I just loving God. And why is it when somebody gets to loving God and drawing close to God, we want to call them a preacher? Looks like we got a two standard thing. Preachers should be close to God. Us folks can kind of. It's not so. All of us need to live just like we're preachers. Pray and read the Bible and get inspired. If the Lord never lets you talk, it's down in my soul, though. It's in there. Oh, when the Word begins to be preached, what do you think it meets up with in your soul? What happens when the Word meets the Word? Can't meet down in it. Down in your soul, you're rejoicing. The Word is in there. It's well entrenched. The roots of righteousness are entwined about my heart. Glory to God. You can't get it out. That's what we need. Experiences that can't be taken from us. Remember what Jesus said of the one at his feet, Mary at his feet said, she chose that good part. What about it? Which cannot be taken. That's what we need. Can't be taken. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and there, right in his presence, and all of virtue and glory proceeded out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. She sat right there at it. He said, the Word of God has a capacity to clench itself down into a heart that's open and receptive, that's tender and eager, that's not relying on its own resources. May God help us. God help us. Iniquity, the abounding of iniquity, has caused the love of many to wax cold, and we've now sought out other devices. We've forsaken the fount of living waters, going another way. That's a sign of sure backsliding. Luke 9, let's look here. 9:57. Pray on. Pray the Lord meet us and stir our hearts tonight and help us. God help us all. 9:57. Oh, you pray the Lord bless us and help us. Came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now notice, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. You know, we can get to a place where we'll let other things get in the front of God. And there are always things that have real value. You ever notice that? There are things that in any other time and space might be quite all right to do. But when they begin to present themselves in a place that belongs to God, that's what we better watch. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He don't want to look back. You know, we've got plenty of Bible evidence here of giving ourselves to God. Let's just look over here in Hebrews. Let's look at Christ. Give ourselves to the Lord. Really submit ourselves unto Him. Surrender unto the Lord. Just cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Hebrews 9:24. Let's look at Christ and look at His example. His meaning for you and I to walk in this same example. We can stay off this kind of slow death of backsliding and going back and getting caught up in the things God delivered us from. When God delivers you clear and free, stay free. To work on it. Give yourself to the Lord. 9:24. Now read, somebody got it.
Christ, yes. Christ entered into the holy places made Yes.
Which are figures of the truth, but in the heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us.
3.
Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year.
Now watch.
Blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world.
But now
well,
it's in the end of the world. He appeared to put away sin. Keep reading now. Watch.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Christ offered himself for the sins of many. Christ freely yielded himself up to the will of the Father so completely and set the pattern for you and I to be yielded up to the Father in the same manner. Surrendering and submitting ourselves for the will of God to be done in our lives. All right, let's watch 10th chapter, 5th verse now.
Amen. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared.
All right, a body. You prepared me a body. God help us now. Give God a place to work. Offer yourself to the Lord in holiness and righteousness. Let the Lord work through and in your life. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Oh, there's a sure defense, if we could think of it this way, against lukewarmness and backsliding and coolness and indifference. And that's getting closer to the Lord. Obeying Him and giving myself afresh. Reconsecrating if you will. Rededicating if you please. Whatever you understand it to be. Get down to business about it. Get down to business about it. Now's the time. Now is the time. God help us. Remember, the lamp in the temple went out. Oh, the lamp went out. You know, we can go day in and day out without the Word of God. Something's wrong with the lamp. Something's wrong. When we can get so busy till the Word of God doesn't enter our minds until someone says something, that's too busy. Oh, but you don't understand. My schedule has changed. Your soul is at stake. I understand that. You begin to get slack in your soul, you're on a backsliding trail. Oh, you'd think with all the power available to keep us, there wouldn't be any need to preach a message about backsliding. Some even have the idea that, well, see, the precedent's been set. Folks are backsliding, getting reclaimed, as they say, so regular till I don't feel any fear about backsliding. But do you know you can backslide and not get back?
Yes.
You can backslide and never get back to the Lord, and you can backslide and the Lord be gracious to you, but don't you know you never have the place you once had? Folks don't know that. But they see folks backslide and in and out and back and forth and in and out, and they think, well, Lord have mercy on him, he'll help me. I'm not trying to hammer anybody down that's had some problems, but I want to see you get some grit. I want you to get what God has for you where you don't have to backslide anymore. Lord, I might have to finish the race being the second best thing you wanted me to be, but I'm going to be the best second best. God has a first place thing that he wants out of our lives. Give him that. If he has to make you over another vessel, determined tonight, that's it. No more making me over. God help us. Stay tender and responsive to God. Stay open. Let the Word be God to you and me. Oh, this is the deterrent. This is the thing the enemy fights. He fights us drawing close to God. He fights spiritual mindedness. He fights it by clouding our minds with issues and cares and worries. It can't take time to be holy. It takes time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. You're going to have to pray and meditate and read and seek good things for your soul. We found out how much trouble we can get in eating junk food. You get in the same amount of trouble not taking care of your soul. Junk food. A lot of old newspapers and magazines. Junk food. Just a very little nutrition comes out of those sources. A little bit of nutrition. You spend more time reading those things, I know the quality of your inner life is like that ice box. Nothing's in there. Amen. That's not just a humorous thought, it's pathetic. When the devil rears up and defies you, and you decide I'm going to fight, and you stand up a little bit, and the devil just... You don't have enough weight to stand up. The devil blows you away. That's literal. The devil just did away with you with no effort. Why, no substance. No real hunger and thirst for God. I used to have it. Long ago, that's the way I was. I'd pray and the Lord would meet me and I'd weep and I'd feel so blessed and seemed like the scriptures would light up when I would read them. Remember that? Sure, it's common to saints. When we love God, it's common for Him to love us back. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. What are we saying tonight? What is the thread of the thought tonight? Christ submitted and gave Himself to God to do the will of God, we must do the same thing. There is something, there is a place that God has for each and every one to be fulfilled, and we won't fulfill it without giving ourselves to the Lord. Let's look at another thought of Scripture here that brings this thought out. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Apostle Paul, here speaking of the Corinthian brethren, brings this thought, and it fits right in now. Listen to this. To 5. That's not what I want. I want where the people gave themselves. And they said, they were getting the offering together and we came by to pick it up. And the thought is, said they first gave themselves. Okay, that's what I want. They first gave themselves. That's what I want us to get. They read it.
This they did.
This they did.
Not as we hoped.
Not as we hoped.
But first gave their own selves to the Lord.
That's the key.
And unto us by the will of God.
That's the key. We came to pick up this offering that was prepared, and that's wonderful. They had a mind to do that, but they went beyond that and gave themselves. And I'm going to say tonight that we're going to have to make the same extension of ourselves. We're going to have to put ourselves in a place where we can do the will of God. Give ourselves. You know, we can get too busy. We can get too encumbered. We can get too overcharged and miss out on the things that God has. And that's a sure road to backsliding. They first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Oh, that's precious to me. And I pray tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let's look a little closer here. This thing about backsliding is a process. And we can look at old Samson here in Judges, the 16th chapter, and see the story of his life is a perfect picture of the process and what happened to him. 16th chapter, we won't read all of this. Just kind of highlight here, but we want you to see something. Judges 16, where Samson flirted and got his eyes off of the things that he should have been paying attention to. Start at the 16th verse. Got involved. Now watch. Now he was pressed. Pressed him. You know, we might have a pretty good resolve on some things and what we won't do, and we'll never do this and I'll never do that. You get loose with God and you get light and careless, and all of that won't mean anything. Strong resolves, high testimonies, good intentions won't mean much of anything. Samson was pressed. You read the account of his life, you'll see he put himself in a position that gradually eroded and broke him down till he got to this place where this pressing overdid him and he told his heart. We better learn to take it to the Lord and leave it there. You go to telling your heart to folks and opening up and saying you don't know what you're talking to and who you're talking to. Better learn to take it to the Lord and leave it there. Told his heart. Read on.
Then he told her all his heart and said to her, there have not come a shaven, then my strength will over me, and I can become weak like any other man.
You know something here? When the Lord saves our soul, when He saves a soul, there are some special things that He does that unite us to Him. There's some things the Lord does individually that make the Lord precious to us. And we're to honor and abide in that all our Christian walk of life. Not to be talked out of it by anyone. God help us. Many have lost their place in God because someone talked them out of that which God put in them. Road backslide. We better stay with what God burns on our hearts when we get saved. Loving and serving Him, see. Oh, God, help us. Read on.
And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord to the Philistines.
All right, now, let's redeem some of the reading. I'm going to encourage you to read this. It's on in your own time. But let's get right down to the 20th verse now. He called the enemy upon Samson. Samson was familiar and acquainted with the presence and power of the Lord, delivered him, get him out of the clutches. But he lived careless. He lived kind of slack, and he got in dangerous territory. And when you and I live careless and slack and get on dangerous territory, the Lord is not going to be there when we call for it in trouble. He doesn't have to be there. He hadn't bound himself to stand by us when we live loose and shabby. Oh, I appreciate so much what one brother told a dear sister. He said, "Sister, are you standing? Are you going to go through with this and trust the Lord?" She said, "Oh, I'm going to trust the Lord." He said, "Well, listen, if you're not going to trust God, don't get me tied up in it." I feel like that. If you're going to trust the Lord, then let's get on in it all the way. But if you're not going to go all the way with it, don't tie me up in it. God help us. Trusting the Lord means trust the Lord. See? We can't adjust that. God help us. Read.
Said, "The Philistines be upon you."
They're upon you.
He awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times."
Watch.
"Before, and shake myself."
Now some folks say, "You know, all I have to do is pray real hard and I can get back with God. All I got to do is just say hallelujah. And I can get back. I know how to get back. Don't you worry about me. I know how to get back. You are deceived." You need to value salvation and just call up to the Lord and stay close and do His bidding. Be right at His feet. So it won't leave. You won't be stuck. Samson thought, "I'll shake myself." You know, there's folks tonight that look and they see things sliding and they see things happening. And they discern it and know it isn't what it should be. And they're telling themselves, "I'm going to shake myself after a while. I'm going to shake myself and get back with God and pray and fast." What's that? Fast. Fasting and praying. That has to be built up, folks. You have to start out fasting and denying yourself and praying and setting apart time and making it most holy unto God. You're not going to be able to shake yourself and start fasting. Will have to be a manner and a pattern of your life before God as part of your devotion and love. I deny myself for spiritual benefit. Amen. I lay aside that my soul might be nurtured and strengthened. You want to know why devils aren't being cast out near as much as they need to be? They come out but by prayer and fasting. You don't cast the devils out dry. God help us. We need to think about it. And you're not fasting when you're sipping water. Some people call that a fast. I'm going to deny myself for the things of the Lord. I need to hear from heaven. Oh, I need God to bless me by His word and by His spirit. Oh, nothing's going to satisfy me till it does it. And I'm going to wait on it. Oh, don't you remember the times when you settled it like that and said, "I'm going to wait on you, Lord.
And oh, he more than paid you for waiting. He more than gave you the direction you desired for waiting like that. He'll do it again. He'll bless you again and again and again like that. He's going to shake himself. Read. Now that's what I want us to get to. He shook himself. He whisked. That's quite an appropriate word. You know, shoo. He didn't know the Lord was gone. He didn't know he wasn't with God. The thing was gradual, but in its end it was complete. It left him inept. Devil had to fool him. Backslidden completely. Samson didn't know he's backsliding doing those things. He backslid over a period of time and didn't know when the Lord had left him. You know that brings a fear on my heart? You can be preaching and shouting and singing. Not a bit of power in it. Not a bit of anointing and unction and blessing in it. Don't even know the Lord's left you. God help us. We need to know where the Lord is. You remember Job looked for the Lord? That's reality, isn't it? We need to know. We need to have some definite contact points in our lives where we find the Lord. Job did. He said, I looked. And I looked. You get in a real spot, you need to have a place where you can find God. I'm not saying it's in this room or that room, but I mean there needs to be a connection where you say, I'm getting the Lord. I need to get a hold of God. You come back, it shouldn't be any question in anyone's mind but that you made contact. Amen. We go off and pray, we ought to be able to come back. Amen. We got something here. Amen. Oh, but that comes from a walking with God, a loving Him, a staying near, a knowing His voice, and penetrating, letting it penetrate through till it's clear. Little Samuel didn't know that Eli was able to give him a few pointers in his backslidden. You say, speak, Lord, thy servant here. Next time, little Eli, little Samuel said, speak, Lord. That's when he got the message of the downfall of Eli's house. Sometimes we get the direct message of God and we don't apply it to our lives. We'll repeat Eli's plight. You know that brings a warning to my heart? Yes, there's eternal security in the Lord as long as we walk like we're supposed to walk. We can't get careless. We don't have a patent on God. No one has Jesus in their hip pocket. We have to live right all the time. God help us. He wished not that the Lord was departed from him. How about it tonight? Any signs? Any coolness? Any indifference come upon you? Are you one that offers yourself willingly unto the Lord? Oh, may God help us. Christ gave himself. He set the pattern and example. You and I are to follow like pattern, like way, giving ourselves to the Lord. You know something in a revival meeting like this? I want to encourage the saints that the Lord is talking to don't be ashamed to come and kneel down and pray. I don't know what this thing is the devil is doing, but he's got people scared to pray, scared to use the altar, afraid to really open up to God and say, Lord, that's exactly what I need. I'm just a little cool and indifferent, and I don't just have the kind of a stamina that I need to face my daily encounters. Oh, you come to the altar. That's what the revival's for. It's to revive us and refresh us and restore. People of God, the sinners can get a blessing, but it's indirectly. Saints are to be revived, and when the church, the saints, are revived and walking where God would have us, the sinners will know about it. All the green pastures will know about it. Church is revived down there. God has done something for the membership. The Lord has blessed the deacons and the ushers and the preacher. Glory to God. Something good has happened down there, praise the Lord. We can maintain it by staying close and sensitive. First love. First love, when I first laid eyes on Jesus. Better yet, when he first laid eyes on me. Oh, something happened. When the Lord first really put his eyes on me. You know, I was going to make a speech and I was going to tell him how good I was. And I was going to tell him all the good points in my life. But when he looked at me, I knew it wasn't any use. I
there wasn't any use me trying to tell the Lord I do have a good side, because His look revealed and exposed how very short any human experience is were it not for the grace of God. We don't tell Him, He tells us. We just submit ourselves to Him. Lord, tell me what I need to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I'm your servant. Speak.